Most of us have oftentimes, and it's very interesting to hear, when we go out to eat somewhere and we sit and listen to other people, or we stand in the line at the burger places and listen to other people order the food that they want in so many different ways. You'll hear somebody step up and say, well, give me a number three. Or I'd like the Big Mac meal. Or I'll take a bowl of chili. Or maybe even I want of this or I want of that. And sometimes we even hear the people say, I would like, or could you please give me? And it's interesting to hear the different ways people ask for things. Sometimes we sit at our tables at meals, and somebody, you know, the butter's down at the end of the table, and somebody up here needs the butter, and holler down, pass me the butter, or can you pass me the butter, or hey, give me the butter, you know what I mean, different ways of asking for it. And my household growing up, we had a little thing my dad would do, and I don't understand why. If you know my dad, you'd know why. We'd sit there during the meal, and he'd wait till somebody would look at him, and then he'd point to what he wanted. So we played this little game. You want the napkins? No. You want the sugar? No. You know, so we play this little game. Just kind of interesting how people ask for things, and it is interesting how people ask God in their prayer time for various things. And Jesus speaks about asking here in this text today. We have to remember, before we look into this, a couple things. First of all, Matthew's gospel was intended to present Jesus as the king. I want you to remember that. Jesus as the king. That's why Matthew gives us the lineage of Jesus down from David. Jesus was presented as the coming king. So we start to think, well, is it really right for subjects? Can subjects just walk up to the king and ask for something? You see? And this is why Jesus talks about this here a little bit. Secondly, as we look at the text today, we find Jesus giving the Sermon on the Mount. This is part of his teaching in chapters 5 through 7, I think, where Jesus is on the Mount teaching the people, and he's teaching about kingdom living, how we should live as kingdom people. And he comes to this particular part in relation to prayer. Now, as we read over this a little bit, there's several things Jesus is teaching here. And we've heard a lot of sermons on this particular part about ask, A-S-K. We come up with the acrostic A-S-K and what they stand for. And volumes of sermons have been written on this with tricky little lines and things meant to help us understand what Jesus is talking about. I'm not going to do that this morning. I'm going to just expound on the scriptures and let the Holy Spirit speak to you on what Jesus was trying to tell us when he said this morning. First of all, as we talk about this, we find this particular teaching by Jesus in two other Gospels. We find it in Luke chapter 11, as Luke was teaching about persistence. Jesus says, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door's already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Jesus says, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he's a friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he'll get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And him who knocks, the door will be open. When Jesus was speaking to his disciples in John chapter 15, the night before he was crucified, he was speaking to them about bearing fruit. I am the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. In verse 7, he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, and that's key, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So Jesus is teaching that by remaining in Christ and his words remaining in us, in other words, being obedient to Christ, we can ask whatever we wish, and it will be given us. and it will glorify God in doing so. Another key point, it will glorify God and much fruit will be born. Paul talked about this to the Philippians when he wrote about having peace. He said, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So you see, this is a biblical principle about praying and praying to God. And we find Jesus teaching this on the Sermon on the Mount. So as we look into this, first of all, we find he says three things: ask, seek, and knock. First of all, this word ask in the Greek implies begging or calling for something as one's craving something and really desires it. It's not the same as seeking information, though. It's begging or calling for something. You ask, call for it, beg for it as begging for something, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. The word seek in the Greek original text was implying seeking God's presence in worship. Zeteo is the word they use, I believe. Thirdly, knock, and the door will be opened for you. That word knock simply meaning knock or rap. In the physical thing we do where we go up and we knock on the door because we want to be let in. We want to experience what's inside. So let's think about this a little bit. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Ask and it will be given to you. We ask for things when our hearts desire something, when we want something, or when we need something. We ask. We don't just stand there and expect it to happen. And we say, now God knows what I need, and He knows what I want. That's true, but we still have to ask Him. And it's encouraging, and I encourage you, ask Him verbally. Speak out loud when you pray. There's power in that. Because what we're doing, we're surrendering it to God. We're acknowledging, God, I need this, and You're the only one that can provide it. Ask, and it will be given you. Ask, being verbal, using words and seeking the answer. Seek, this word seek meaning to search for. In other words, when we search for something, we get involved. We get mentally involved when we're searching. We're looking for answers for something. A lot of people pray and say there. And we've been told this by a lot of preachers. Lay it at the foot of the Lord and walk away. That's okay in trust. But unless we're seeking the Lord and His righteousness, how are we going to know if He's answering the prayer? You know, we pray for things and then we walk around like blind people, deaf people, not listening to what others are saying, how the Lord's speaking to us, what the Lord's showing us in our lives, because we're not seeking. And the first place we should go to seek would be in the Bible. If we really want to know, when we pray to God, if it's really God's will, and if it's what we should be praying at all, we can go to the Bible. You will find someone in the Bible that you can identify in every point of your life. At times I find I'm Timothy. At times I feel like I'm Paul. At times I feel like I'm Jehoshaphat, crying out, God, we don't know what to say, but our eyes are fixed on You. You know what I mean? At times I feel like Adam and Eve, rebelling against God. All the time. And I can look and find out what the consequence was and what I need to do to be back in a right relationship with God. And He says, ask and seek. Get involved personally in finding out what God has to say and how He's speaking to us and guiding us. Thirdly, He's saying knock. Now, this is a physical thing. This is a physical thing where we have to go right up to the Lord and get involved physically. We say, how do we do that? Well, a good place to do it is right here in church on Sunday morning. This is like knocking on the door of heaven when we walk in the door here on Sunday morning. Because we're coming into the presence of the Lord and we're saying, Lord God, I'm here and I'm ready to listen to you. I want to know what you have to say to me, and I want to know how you're going to answer my prayers. And the Lord will as the Holy Spirit moves around us. We literally knock on heaven's door when we get involved in mission work, helping other people out, visiting people in the nursing homes and so forth. We're showing God that we're seeking His will and that we want to be in a closer relationship with Him. So Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock. And we say, well, I've tried that over and over again, but it seems like there's no answer to my prayers. Why isn't God answering my prayers? You know, there's usually three answers from God when we pray. Either yes, no, or not right now. Okay? Yes, no, or not right now. When God says yes, we're praying in the will of God and we know it's God's will, and sometimes that's a no-brainer. But sometimes God says no. God, why don't you give me $1 million? I've got all these bills, Lord. If you just give me $1 million, I'd be happy. God says no. No, you wouldn't. You'd want $2 million then. You see what I'm saying? And sometimes He says, not right now. Lord, I need it right now. We think we can walk up to the window of heaven and order a la carte, and we want it right now. I'm thirsty, Lord. I'm hungry. And He says, now's just not the right time. And sometimes it takes years until He does answer that. But we know God's timing is perfect. That's why I encourage you to have a prayer journal. Because you can look back through the years, what you prayed, and sometimes years down the road, you see how God answered that prayer. Not nearly in the way we thought, but He did. He answered the prayer somehow. James chapter 1 tells us, though, that one of the reasons God doesn't answer our prayers is because we doubt when we pray. Well, Lord, if you can, please send this. Lord, if you can, please provide this. And we say, Lord, forgive us in our doubt. Secondly, because it's not the will of God. You know, we get all wrapped up in ourselves. Give me this. I want this. I'd like this. I'll take this. We get all wrapped up in ourselves. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, if possible, take this cup from me, yet not my will be done, but your will be done. His number one concern was God's will in his prayers and in his actions. When the Lord spoke to King Solomon, he said, ask for anything you want. Anything you want, what would you and I have asked for? Anything you want, Solomon. Solomon says, give me wisdom so that I can govern your people properly, and we won't make a disgrace out of you, God. For the glory of God, He gave Solomon all the wisdom. He was the wisest man that ever lived. He did some dumb things, but he was a wise man receiving wisdom from the Lord because he prayed in the will of God for the glory of God. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us to seek first the kingdom of heaven and things will be given to us. Now that doesn't mean we want that brand new car, that we should, you know, use God in this way. But what it does mean is that if we bow our heads and bend our knees for the purpose of glorifying God, God, how can I in my poverty glorify you? God, how can I in my sickness glorify you? You see, how can I do your will, Lord, and all this? Thirdly, and sometimes the worst of all, is that we ask the wrong person or we don't ask at all. You see that guy on TV juggling the chainsaws? I got this. Come on, I got this. The husband stands there. I got this. I got this. Come on, toss me the chainsaws. You want to know something? He doesn't got this, and neither do we. Where were we when God created the heavens and the earth? You see? So oftentimes we think, I got this. I got this. Not yet. It's not time to pray yet. I got this. And the truth is, we don't got this. God does. God's already in the future and knows what's going to happen. We don't. So people think, I got this. And then when disaster happens, they say, God, why did you allow this to happen? And God says, well, you said you had it, right? Okay? We ask the wrong person sometimes. You know, we say we praise God from whom all blessings flow. We praise God from whom all blessings flow. But yet, sadly, so many people are praying to other gods, to idols of wood and stone and metal, rubbing things and constantly rubbing things, thinking this is going to make a big difference, if you know what I mean. In the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray." And the very first thing he does is teach us who to direct our prayers to. Our Father in heaven. And this is what Jesus was trying to say in our scriptures today. If this would have been in our culture today, we'd have kind of reversed this. We'd have started by saying, "Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone?" In other words, if he asks for something good, you're going to give him something bad. "If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" And we would write, "Therefore, ask and it will be given. Seek, you'll find. Knock and the door will be open." So many people do not turn to God, but turn to other places and other ways for answered prayers. We say, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." But then we turn around and pray to other people that have been dead for thousands of years like they can do something about it. That's not their place. The Bible doesn't teach that. You understand? Read Hebrews. Our great high priest in the presence of God interceding for us is Jesus Christ. So we pray to God through Jesus Christ. We come into the presence of God. You know, for any of you that might be teachers, how would you feel if you had a student in your class that had a question about something and they went to another teacher? Or maybe someone at work, if you have people under you at work, how would you feel if they went to somebody else there and asked them how to do something instead of coming to you? It's sort of like, why would we go to a seafood restaurant if we just wanted a hamburger? Why would we go to one of the hamburger joints if we wanted the seafood buffet, right? Why not go to the King, to Jesus Himself, and pray to God through Jesus? It's simple. But no, so many people choose other ways when they're in need in their lives. And they pray to other gods and other people or saints. The Bible doesn't teach us to do that, and Jesus never said to do that. And my feeling is it makes absolutely no sense. It's ludicrous when we can go to the King ourselves through Christ. That's part of having Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's His place. Why would I want to go to someone less than the King Himself? Less powerful than Jesus Himself. We praise God from whom all blessings flow and pray to somebody else as if they can do something. You know that's blasphemous to God? That's blasphemy to God in doing that. And imagine how hurt Jesus is when we turn to other ways in our needs and desires. We got our good luck coin. We got our good luck coin. Or we got our good luck charm. And that kind of speaks for itself, doesn't it? Where's your good luck charm going to be when we lay down and close our eyes for the last time? What does our good luck charm know about the future? What did our good luck charm do on Calvary? You see what I'm saying? And Jesus was telling us here that if we know how to give good gifts, how much more does our Father know? And God is flattered when we come to Him to ask. People say, "Well, I can't ask God for that." Why not? God's flattered when we come to Him because we're admitting that we can't do it on our own and we're coming to Him like our Abba Father, our Daddy. "Oh God, oh God, you know my needs." Like a child coming and saying, "Daddy, can I have a piece of gum?" You see, how must that make God feel when we bend our knee, bow our heads, in prayer to God, asking God, focusing totally on God. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? And we're reminded to ask Him in His will for His glory. It's I want to say a complicated thing, but it's not. It's not. God knows our needs before we even ask. He knows our hearts before we ask. Is it wrong to ask for things in this life? No. It might not be in God's will for us. But yet, again, what if it is? And how are we going to glorify God through it? You want a new car? How can you glorify God with that new car? You want that job? How can you glorify God with that job? You want a new house? How can I glorify God with that house? You want a new boat? How can I glorify God with that boat? You stand out there and you say, Lord, help me to hit every one of these birds. How are we going to glorify God if we hit every one of those? Right? We can glorify God in everything that we do in life. But especially in our prayer time, we bow our heads and bend our knees. It's so important. So important that we know who we are praying to, who we are focused on. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, our Father in heaven, we can't, but you can. We don't have, but you do. We're weak, you're strong. We're scared, you're not. We're sick, you're the healer. You see what I'm saying in our prayers? Once in a while, I want to challenge you to ask Him for a piece of gum, because He'll give it. If your heart's in the right place, focused on Almighty God, for the glory of Almighty God, God will bless you. Sometimes today, sometimes tomorrow, sometimes not for a while, but He always answers prayer for His glory. Let's pray. Dear Lord our God, it's wonderful that we have a God who listens when we pray.